Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 30, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have two returning guests.
Hi, I'm Josh from LA.
And I'm Malcolm from Las Vegas.
Yay, welcome back, guys. And this week we have, again, a ridiculous wealth of television shows. So I'm going to crank through the news as quickly as possible. The first thing is that apparently the whole, hey, Wonder Woman's going to be a great movie has died yet again. And now we're at Wonder Woman will make a great TV show. So Wonder Woman is in, going into production. The producer is going to be David E. Kelley, which scares me a little bit. Because
Are we talking Ally McBeal?
Yes, that David E. Kelley.
Oh my God!
So I'm a little terrified of what he's going to do to Wonder Woman. I mean, I think he sort of likes strong women, but they're kind of goofy, what? Right?
Like, Ally McBeal is a strong woman. What?
Well, I don't know. I'm worried about David E. Kelley doing Wonder Woman. If it was Joss Whedon doing a new TV show and it was Wonder Woman, I'd be ecstatic. But
I'd flip out.
Right, but it's David E. Kelley. And I'm like, how did he get that deal? I was like, was Joss asleep and was unaware that they were doing it? I don't know.
Joss is doing Avengers.
No, that's true. He's got better stuff to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. And then on the cancellation news, we're there already. This is week number 2 of all the new shows. We have our first 2 casualties.
Oh, okay.
The first one was Lone Star, as I predicted last week.
It's a bummer. That was kind of a good show.
Yeah, but the ratings were insanely low.
Yeah,
I know. So I knew that one was not going to last long.
Stupid Fox.
Fox is very quick on the cancellation trigger. And then the other one was ABC's new show called My Generation, which ironically, I just saw a preview for last night. And I was like, oh, that sort of looks interesting. And I woke up this morning and it's canceled.
I would see posters for it all over the city, but I had no idea it was actually a TV show.
Yeah, it looks weird. It's just
it looked like an ad for like a website or something.
Right. I actually saw an actual preview for the show, and I was like, oh, that's not aimed at me. It's aimed at somebody about 5 or 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But I still thought it was an interesting concept. I also thought it was a depressing concept. Because basically they take like all this footage from you in high school talking about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And then you skip 10 years later and find out what those people have actually done with their lives.
Oh, God.
And that's what I said. I was like, ooh. And only I think one of them was actually successful out of the group.
Oh, man. That's like, that's kind of the same concept for Men of a Certain Age, which is also an utterly depressing show.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. NBC has picked up a pilot starring Jack Black. The comedy is called The Experiment, and it's pretty much Jack Black is playing a character who is experimenting with different aspects of his life. It was kind of vague. I'm not quite sure. But the fact that he's on television is the big deal.
Okay.
So that's going to be, a mid-season replacement for NBC.
Okay.
That's all the news I have. Anybody else?
I got an older bit, and I don't know if we've talked about it before.
What's that?
Ron Moore of BSG and Caprica has gotten a new show deal, and it's the concept is a wizard in modern times dealing with the secret wizarding world as an adult. And all I could think was, this sounds like he's ripping off the Dresden Files.
It does. Is there a ghost with a skull? Like
they didn't go into that much detail with it, but like one of the things that sort of put up the red flag for me was like how he was talking about is going to draw the parallel between the supernatural world and the religion of our world, and I was like, oh God, he's gonna do it again.
Oh, that is
that news. I thought it was gonna. I kind of pictured a modern Harry Potter.
Well, that's kind of the concept they were going for, but Dresden Files is kind of a modern Harry Potter in a way.
Well, so but he's pretty much the only wizard, and he basically solves mysteries. Like, that's the whole kick. If but this guy's not going around solving mysteries, then...
I don't know. It's Ron Moore and wizards, and that just says to me, this is going to be really weird.
Well, I think he could do it. I mean, I don't have a problem with his other than the finale of BSG. I don't have a problem with his his storytelling. I think he's great. So I'll watch it.
I'll watch it too. My problem is that he tends to soapbox a lot of the time in his shows.
Yeah, but he does it well, I have to say.
He does it better than others, but he does it a lot.
Yeah, okay.
More than I would care for.
All right, so we're gonna move on. We have a lot of shows. We're gonna use the timer again. Let's see how fast we crank through these shows. All right, first up is the season premiere of Dexter, and it's the season premiere of season 4 where we left off last.
No, season 5.
You're right, season 5. Mm-hmm. And where we left off last year is Julie Benz's character Rita was dead.
Yeah.
And in a pool of, in the bathtub, and we pick up this season, and it's the same moment.
Yeah,
basically.
He's got Harrison, baby Harrison, is in the bathroom covered in blood.
Yes,
with her, and I'm like, oh god, no.
The only thing is, baby Harrison is probably too young to remember this. Like when this happened to Dexter, he was 3.
Yeah.
The baby's might not even be 1. So
this is true. I mean, who knows how they're gonna go with it, but I thought this episode was a fantastic start to the season.
I agree.
Like, what I loved was just, it was as gut-wrenching and heartbreaking as I was hoping it would be. And
well, like, Dexter, I like the fact that he's so used to channeling his emotions and not letting anybody see what he's really feeling,
right,
that it was actually to his detriment this time.
Which I found ironic, because this would be one of those times where he could get away with it.
Right.
Because everybody would be like, well, he's in shock and he's full of grief. And of course he would be like stoic and empty, and people would give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Well, but he was so vacant, though. It was like, oh, that does lead me to, because I was thinking of the scenes where he was vacant. It leads me to the big inside joke when they go to the funeral home. Mm-hmm. It's the same funeral home from 6 Feet Under.
I thought I recognized it.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, are they? I was like, they totally are. And then the guy that they did the same kind of moving shot.
Yeah.
When the funeral home director greets them and everything.
Yeah.
And they do the little pan into him. And Dexter's like, I wonder how he does that. That's like it's totally from the show.
Oh.
I was like, nice.
That was cool. I only watched like maybe the first half of season 1 of 6 Feet Under, so I didn't like latch onto that immediately, but now that you mention it, I'm like, oh, you're right.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
I didn't latch onto the funeral home, but I did love when he did the I'm sorry for your loss. That called it back for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked Deb was like at wit's end. She didn't know how to deal with Dexter. She just like,
yeah,
because Dexter's always at least pretends that he's the big brother, and he pretends that he's got everything under control.
Yeah.
And he's always doing stuff.
And yeah, this is like the first time Deb has really had to be like the big kid.
Yeah, the responsible one, because she always does whatever she wants and then Dexter covers for her.
Mm-hmm.
And though this show does win the award for inappropriate places to have sex.
Yeah, just a bit.
Oh my god, I was just like, you have got to be kidding me.
And I so knew that was going to happen, too.
I didn't see that, because I really don't like him.
I don't like him either, but I knew at some point or another, Deb was going to have sex with him. Like,
so
I've known that since last season.
Well, for her, she does pick losers to have sex with, so, you know, that's not all that surprising. Malcolm, go ahead, you got any comments?
Yeah, I they caught me right in mid sentence when that was happening. I was writing down, oh man, Deb's losing. Oh my god, don't kiss him.
Well, what did you think of the show overall? Because you hadn't really got
so,
to comment.
So good, especially the fact that at the end that they had Dexter commit an actual murder, not a vigilante kill, not an accidental self defense kill, and an actual straight up murder. And to have Harry be gone for the entire episode and then come back right at that moment makes me think that that's not Harry.
That's his subconscious? But
I think that's what Harry was.
Yeah, we knew that.
Well, I know. I'm just saying that I don't think that's the same subconscious that he had before. I think that's more of the ice truck killer now.
This is the dark passenger now manifesting itself?
Exactly. This is closer to what's kind of going on in the book. a little bit, where
I think what's going on in the book is stupid, though. I mean, after the second book, I was like, "This is dumb." Never mind. But
I haven't read the book.
The first book is good. The first book is almost exactly like the first season.
Yeah,
and then after that, the writer starts smoking crack.
Okay. Yeah, it starts getting really, really metaphysical. But I think what they're going to be, what it seems like, is that they're going to, he's might be losing his code, and that's what we'll have to keep an eye on.
Oh, he's totally losing his code, and there is no way that this random killing is not going to come back at some point.
Well, my only thing was, I was like, the only way to cover that is he had to burn down that building.
Yeah.
Because he left DNA, he left fingerprints, he left everything on the scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, just burn the building down.
Yeah.
You know, that was the only hope he has.
From all I can tell, it seems like he just left.
Well, we don't know that's exactly, because he obviously changed his clothes, so he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed up at the wedding, not the wedding, showed up at the funeral, and I liked what he said and everything, and you really, and I liked the daughter's breakdown.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and I've been sort of waiting for that moment with her, because she's always been on the cusp of that with him.
Right.
And the other thing that I really loved was these flashbacks to his first date with Rita.
Oh, those were good.
And the whole time, like, the first date was a cover for him trying to get this guy that he was going to kill.
Right.
And I just thought that was fantastic.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're talking about, he's losing the code, but actually, I think he's becoming more human. I think he's actually moving away from the Dark Passenger, because this whole episode was actually a manifestation of his grief, a manifestation of his guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that he's actually moving away from that. But
and the other thing is, like, the first thing he said to Deb when she showed up on the scene in the very beginning was, "It was me."
Yeah.
And that you could tell that freaked her out, because she doesn't know what that means.
Yeah. And I think she suspects.
She suspects, and clearly the FBI suspects too. And I just think that it would be so perfect and ironic if this one murder that he is not guilty of is the one that exposes him for all the others he's done.
Yeah, but I doubt that's going to happen. But anyway,
I don't know. It could.
We're past the time on our timer, so we're going to move on to the next show.
Okay.
So the next show up is Boardwalk Empire, which I still haven't gotten on board with, but both of you guys have watched.
Yeah.
Discuss.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay, so this one we got some more introduction to the way the background and some period stuff, because we got shoe shines, we had the Klan recruiting on the street, they used the word darkies, and there was a lot of sexism in this episode too, so I'm glad that they're not flinching with, you know, how bad this time was, you know, in a social kind of an aspect. But what do you think about that kind of stuff?
I loved it. Like, what I, not because I agree with any of it, but it's like with Mad Men, this, like, seeing how people think and act in a very different time fascinates me, and they do such a good job with it in Boardwalk Empire. Like, I'm absolutely in love with the authenticity and the production design, and all of the just the attention to detail with it just blows my mind, and that's what keeps me coming back to it. And the characters are very cool too, but I have to be honest, the thing that I love most about this show isn't the characters, but just that big set of the Atlantic City Boardwalk from 1920. That is just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
How's Steve Buscemi?
Oh, he's great.
And his nemesis is super creepy. Ew. The Elliot Ness kind of guy.
Oh, my God. The IRS guy. Like, I think he's, like, essentially IRS, even though, like, he's a prohibition police officer. But yeah, that guy will make your skin crawl.
Yeah, he is definitely the villain, and this is, and kind of like how The Sopranos made all of the people we would consider villains in real life to seem like heroes. This is doing the same thing.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like, they're definitely not good people, but I like them better than this guy.
Anytime somebody does something altruistic or something that you would deem as good, it's coming from one of the criminals.
Well, like, that's the thing with his character and the one woman that still sort of, I'm I'm still not sure what his motivation is with why he's helping this woman so much. Kelly McDonald's character.
Yeah.
Like, or why he seems to be going out of his way to sort of try to help make her life easier while at the same time killing her husband and framing him for the big massacre at the end of last week.
Well, does that mean
I think she reminds him of his wife and he's protecting her like he couldn't protect his wife.
That's interesting. I didn't really think of it that way.
All right. Unless you guys have any final comments?
No, that's about all I
got to
say.
You have made it sound interesting. This is probably one of the shows I catch up on later.
I highly recommend it. It's one of the best new shows this season.
All right, now we're moving on to House. I have to say that this season has been really interesting to me in that I was afraid the whole House Cuddy thing would last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they're actually putting some effort behind it. Like, they're really trying to show you, if House was in a relationship, this is how it would work, and this is what he would be like.
Yeah, and it's totally what his character would do.
Like, right.
It, none of it feels out of character for me.
Right, and I'm really impressed that, well, and it was good because it showed that House and Cuddy at work together kind of don't work.
Yeah.
They don't really, because the part of the thing that makes their work environment successful is that they antagonize each other. They
right.
go back and forth, they argue. Part of his arguments with her leads him to other solutions and stuff like that.
Right.
And when they're trying to be all nice to each other, it totally doesn't work. And
right,
it feels
yeah.
false and makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, and what's so funny is like, they were like the last people to notice it while everybody else on the team is like, something is wrong here.
Yeah. Well, I think they, like, House knew that he was being nice to Cuddy.
Yeah.
He knew it. He just thought that it wouldn't affect his work.
And yeah, that's what I mean. Like, everybody else knew this was affecting your work.
Right. Though, Taub was actually starting to get annoying.
Taub has been annoying forever.
I'm not going to argue with that, but but it was just his thing was like, well, they're never going to last, so why even bother? I was like,
yeah.
Really? Shut up. You're not helping.
Yeah.
So, and then he basically tries to sabotage their relationship, too, which is a House move.
Yeah.
But I liked how House totally threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
He was like, Tal, why would you lie to Cuddy like that?
Yeah. Which he totally deserved.
Yeah, he did. And House made it seem very sincere.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I have no idea what the case was about. It was somebody.
It was the girl who,
What? That actually, the end of that episode where the brother goes in and talks to the sister,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, I'm going to give you part of my life. Like, that
yeah.
was actually really moving.
That was a really good speech, and like,
that kid was good.
My heart went out to the parents in that one just because, like, they really had this god-awful choice to make.
Right.
Like, do you save the daughter who's going to live a healthy life if you do by taking time away from your son who's going to be dead in 10 years anyway?
Right.
And
so you basically,
like,
have taken away, instead of him living 10 years, he's not going to live 5.
Right.
But now your daughter possibly could live a long life.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, and like, that was when House finally like exploded on them because they were
I was like, they didn't do it. I know, they didn't need that. I was like, House, shut up.
Yeah,
you know, like that was one
that,
of the
that was the moment where I was like, House, you're crossing the line, seriously crossing the line.
Right, because that's definitely a personal decision that has to be made within a family that a doctor has no place in.
But they did make one mistake, which House did sort of like bring to their attention, which was they were not going to tell their son about this at all.
Well, once they decided not to do it, I don't see why they would. Like, I could see why the parents wouldn't tell the son
mm-hmm.
if they had decided not to do it, because you don't want to put that burden on him because he's still a kid. However,
yeah.
I actually thought that it was insane that they were making the decision. Like, if they decided to do it, they still would have to talk to the kid because
yeah.
he still has to give consent.
Right.
You know, it's still his lung and his body. It's like, parent, we're not in China where the parents could just be like, cut him up.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I mean, and also, like, this is a major family decision. Like, you want the family, not just you.
Well, and they didn't tell. Well, the thing is, they didn't talk to either one of the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know how they thought they were going to come to a conclusion without talking to either one of the children, because they were the ones that were going to have the surgery and have the deal. They were going to want to be the ones that had to live with whatever the decision was.
Yeah, or and die. And so, like, while House, like, sort of crossed the line by yelling at him, at the same time, I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
Because they were being really obtuse.
Sure.
And cowardly.
All right. All right, so that basically House this week was good?
Yes.
I think that this season is going in a really good direction, and I'm very happy about it. And it feels kind of arc-ish, because the House and Cuddy thing is kind of holding it together.
Yeah.
But, all right.
And also, we still have to see what's up with 13.
Oh, that's right. I don't know if I care, but yes.
We'll find out when she gets back after Olivia Wilde is done promoting Tron.
I was like, shooting some movie.
Yeah.
All right. The next show we have is Chuck, and Malcolm, you have any comments about Chuck?
Yay, weapons of fate bullets.
Oh, those are the smart bullets that target you, like ballistic missiles.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how they know which person in the crowd you're aiming for, but all right, sure.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like the new Bymore in the first episode, so I'm glad that we had an update there. I'm also glad that they actually got some gags out of it with all that efficiency stuff.
Actually, that was my favorite part of the whole thing, just that one scene where Morgan is walking through and just like tossing stuff off the shelves, and an agent would swoop up out of nowhere and grab it and put it back up.
And then the excessive backflips through the store to pick stuff up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was all really good. I do have to say that Jeffster, as they come together as one group, are still creepy. They are really just creepy.
Yeah, they are creepy. I still kind of like them because that's who they are. I mean, I could have done without Jeff with the open shirt.
But that's what made it so creepy, though. That's what made it so awesome. I think that actually the Bymore and Morgan stuff was actually more interesting than what was going on with Chuck. And
oh, by a long shot, yeah.
Because Chuck and the girlfriend, just, I don't care. I don't care about
this. This is what I was afraid of.
But Sarah knocked out the Hulk.
Oh. Yes. But he spoke. Lou Ferrigno should never speak.
Well, I don't have a problem with him speaking, because I like the fact that he was in love with the chick. I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they have gotten their relationship to the point where I really don't care about it anymore.
And this is what I was afraid of, with like all the back and forth leading up between Chuck and Sarah, like them not being together but kind of pretending to be together, that when they would actually get together, it would lose all interest, and it has.
Yeah, I totally don't care.
A little bit that's going. I do like the bantery stuff where they have like the jealousy stuff coming in, because I mean that woman was naked almost like the whole back half
so Sarah was like, is she naked behind you? He's like, well, yes. Yeah, that was amusing, but
it was amusing, but I was kind of like, Sarah, come on, you know the work, let's face it, like, this sort of thing is going to happen.
Though I'm like, what kind of work do you have that naked women normally attack you with guns? Like,
she strips down to her underwear at least once an episode.
That's true. But I don't care about the fact that she wouldn't unpack her bag, like, and it seems so ridiculous and so cheesy for the end, and I feel like we should have noticed this before now. They've been living together like all last season, and now we notice that she doesn't unpack her bag?
Yeah.
Nah, I just don't buy it and I don't care.
And the other thing that bugged me was they really should have gotten somebody else to play, like, the villain in this, because that woman was clearly a fashion model with no acting ability whatsoever, and it just ruined it for me.
Yeah, because they're doing Fashion Week, so some fashion model that I don't know who she is, and I don't care about that either.
Yeah.
The one story that I did think that could have been interesting was Adam Baldwin's character. Casey, thank you. His daughter, the whole thing going on with that. Yeah. I want to know more about that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they delve more into that. And
it's weird that Morgan talks to her. That's a little strange.
Yeah.
But I like that. And that's the only thing I thought was interesting. So far, Chuck has been blah.
Well, there is one thing in this episode which we haven't talked about, which I want to talk about, which is Isaiah Mustafa.
What's that?
He was the guy who was their... I think they're calling them Gretchens in this. Like, the one agent who is working at the Bymore who is kind of like the focus character.
Oh, the big black guy?
Yeah, the Old Spice guy.
Oh!
Yeah.
I forget. Yeah, I knew I recognized him from something. I couldn't figure out what.
I thought he was hilarious.
You're a very tiny man.
You're a very tiny man.
Yeah, well, I said everything in the Bymore was golden, which is a bad sign for Chuck.
Yeah.
Because usually the Bymore stuff is the B story, and the A story is usually more interesting, but in this case, that was not true.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the problems with that is that the overarching campaign, the search for the mom, it seems like something we just did with the search for the dad.
Well, I'd be interested in the search for the mom if we actually made progress with it. I don't care.
Well, it's
about
only the second episode,
right.
So...
But it's just the stuff that they have to fill in is not that interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I want to see more Linda Hamilton because I love Linda Hamilton.
All right, and we're out of time for Chuck, and so we are going to move on to Castle.
Okay, this was the episode where Castle's mom, her boyfriend died.
Oh, yeah, that was all depressing.
Right after proposing to her.
Yeah, because the whole episode, she gets the ring, she's trying to decide if she wants to say yes or no, and so for the whole episode, she's trying to decide if she wants to marry this guy. And her conclusion at the end of the episode is, nah, I like him, but that it was all about the chase. But now that we've finished that, there's no more interest. Mm-hmm. And she goes to tell him and finds out he's dead.
And now she has to deal with the kids who saw the ring on her and thought that she had said yes.
Right. Oh, and wow. That's and then her guilt and all that was really, that was really good.
That was good. And
best use of the mom, I think, in a while.
Definitely. And... the case was,
there was a murder.
There was a murder. It, it had to do with, infidelity. Like, it was this, guy who was cheating on his wife, and so the wife slowly poisons him to the point where he has a heart attack.
Right.
And it was the psychic who, like...
All right,
the
psychic.
The psychic
was,
lady.
Oh, that's... It was Pat Tallman. Which I actually found was depressing because I love Pat Tallman is from
Babylon
5.
Yeah.
And she's cast as the dead body.
I know.
What? Come on.
I felt so bad. I was like, oh man, she's the corpse in this.
that is so depressing. But yeah, I liked the... And then they were... The whole thing is she psychic or is she not psychic? And she left the message... And the thing is, she was actually on the right track of finding the killer, and then, of course, gets killed by the killer.
Yeah. And then, like, they say that the daughter comes in and says she has the gift, and she had a dream that Beckett would be saved by somebody named
Alexander.
And then it's revealed at the very end that Castle's middle name is Alexander.
And that was pretty good.
That was fun, and that was cute, and I don't know where they're going to go with that.
I have to say, I really like Castle and Beckett together.
Oh, they're fantastic. And like I have to say, and I know Brian said it last week, I love that Ryan and Esposito have a stronger presence this season. Those two are great.
Yeah, I agree. They're like the bumbling twins, but they're cute and they're fun. So I like them.
Yeah.
All right, so Castle, cool this week. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Then we have the second episode of Hawaii Five-0. This was not the pilot. This is actually a real case. We're starting off to kind of see what the show is really, how they're kind of going to do the show.
And I actually like this episode more than the pilot.
Okay.
The pilot, I was kind of like, about it. Like, I thought it was interesting. I wanted to see where they would go with it. And this episode, they had like an actual case. And you got to see them working together. Grace Park's character, Kono, she gets officially made a cop.
Right.
And I actually kind of... I wasn't really on board with Scott Kahn's character with Dano because he was bickering all the time.
Right. But I liked them fighting, actually.
But, there was, like, the scene between him and McGarrett.
Right.
Where, like, they sort of, like... Where he's arguing with him about... I can't remember what he was arguing with him about.
Was it the whole torturing of the prisoner thing?
Yeah, it was the torturing of the prisoner thing. And I really liked the whole dynamic between the two of them, where Scott Conn is like, "I need to speak," and he's like, "Okay, fine, see what you need to say."
They're playing up the whole married couple thing too a little bit, like they're arguing like a married couple kind of deal.
But you know, the two of them, it kind of works.
Yeah, it does, and I like it.
Yeah.
I like this episode, and although I thought the only thing that was a little bit cheesy was the bit at the end where, what's her name? When she gets her graduation?
Yeah, and it's them.
It's Grace, it's Grace Park. I can't remember her name on the show.
Kono.
Kono, okay. Yeah. And the thing is, I'm going to call him Daniel Day Kim.
I don't know his name.
he basically was like, "Oh, I was always going to go to your graduation." I was like, "No, you weren't.
No.
You weren't always going to go because you're being a selfish jerk."
Yeah.
And I understood why he didn't want to go, because he didn't want to have to deal with all the cold shoulders and all the...
And everybody associating her with him.
And I got that part, but he was obviously important to her.
Yeah.
And so he should have just been like, "All right."
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a jerk move. And then to try to play it off at the end, like, "Oh, I would have always gone." I was like, stop lying.
Yeah.
But I did...
But, so, you know, like, there was something about, like, when he said it, she sort of reacted in, like, a "yeah, right" kind of way, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, and then they just did the whole ceremony. I was like, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'd say, yeah, as from an episode standpoint, it was a good, strong second episode.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that it doesn't become a pattern where Kono is the one who ends up getting in danger.
Yeah, but she got herself out of it pretty well. I thought she did a good job.
She got herself out of it well. I just am hoping that it's not a constant where she's the one who ends up, like, being in the presence of the bad guy when they discover that person is the bad guy.
Right. Well, what I also have to say, Daniel Day Kim on a motorcycle is pretty hot. That was hot.
He wears the motorcycle very well, I have to say, yes.
I was very impressed by that. All right, the next show we've got is The Event.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that most of the sci-fi people out there gave it thumbs down at the pilot. And based on the grunting and groaning I hear you guys making, it's...
I'm not giving up on it just because it leaves me just curious enough to want to watch a little bit more. But as far as the characters go, I'm so not interested in any of them. Like, the only one who is even mildly interesting is Sophia.
Yes, because you want to know what the heck is going on. You know she's lying about something.
Well, you know she's lying about something, and they revealed more about, like, what her and her group is. And all I could think was, this is the 4400.
Oh.
Because...
Right.
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
because, like,
you got a point.
They were saying, like, these people are human, but their DNA is tweaked somehow, and so I'm thinking...
Well, they're saying they're not human.
Well, they're saying... Well...
They very much said they're not human because their DNA is 1% different.
Yeah.
So they're saying they're aliens.
But they're still humanoid. Like, they still look like us.
They still look like us, but they're not human.
So, like, what it made me think was that these are people from the future.
Or they could be... people that have been altered. They could have been taken by aliens, altered, and sent back.
Like, yeah, I didn't feel that, but I like your idea about the future.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense, because then whatever the event is, they would have already, that's what they know about already,
right,
and they're trying to prepare for it.
Right, and then, and like, when you look at it from that perspective, I'm like, it's the 4400 all over again.
The only problem with that is the guy, the cold-blooded dude that they met in the warehouse. The dude was like, "I don't care how many people we kill. If you're from the future, you don't want to kill people because you might destroy yourself." You know.
But you know, maybe he doesn't care about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the loophole. I know if I'd be from the future, I'd be a little careful. You know, you don't want to start killing people.
Well, when you have, like, such a huge group of people coming back from the future, you're gonna have one guy who's gonna be like, "Let's see how much we can mess with the timeline."
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was trying to mess with the timeline. His thing was, he was tired of being messed with by these peddly little humans or whatever. And he's like, "I'm going to do whatever I want to do."
Yeah.
I have to say, as a second episode, this one was way better than the pilot.
This one was definitely stronger than the pilot.
Yeah, because it was, the whole time jumping in the pilot was irritating, annoying, and shoddy storytelling. This time, we only got, like, maybe a couple of jumps.
We got a couple of jumps, and they were more significant.
Right. They felt more important. It felt like a plot device in the first episode. This time, it actually felt like it was part of the story.
Right.
Malcolm,
except a couple of times it seemed like the flashback came in like at a really inopportune moment, like right in the middle of a chase. I'm like, don't do that.
Well, that happened like about 10 times last week.
Yeah, this week it only happened like once or twice. So yeah. I felt a lot better about it. But I think the time jump is overused.
But like the one character, the one who's looking for his girlfriend, I can't remember his name.
Jason Ritter,
his character, I so don't care. Like I so do not give a damn about him, his girlfriend, any of what's going on.
Well, the only reason I care about that is because I think that he's going to actually find out the information that the government's trying to find out.
Probably, but they're just making him so not interesting and not engaging in any way.
Well, I think at this point, I was actually surprised that the cops caught him. I really thought, because it was like, well, now he's got to stand up for murder. That doesn't make any sense. But I'm sure he will escape by next week.
Yeah. But, you know, then it's just going to be the fugitive with him. And he's not interesting enough of a character to carry that kind of plot line for me.
Well, we'll see. What do you think, Malcolm, overall? What do you think?
Better than the first, but that was a lot. That was very easy to do. One of the things I'm always struggling with this show is every time a character comes up, I have to figure out, okay, which camp is this person in? Is this one of the people that knows what's going on? Is this a person that's an alien or whatever? Is this person one of the conspirators? And I think this show might have a better payoff when you watch it in repeats, like when D.B. Sweeney and then that other guy from the boat kidnapped the girlfriend, fiance. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, hey, the other guy, that's the dude that that they were dealing with in the first episode. So, you know, it's still so confusing trying to figure out who everybody is.
Yeah,
so
watching it on DVD, I think, would probably be better.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Time is up on that one. Mm-hmm. We are going to the series premiere of No Ordinary Family. I will let Josh talk first because you're on the positive.
I really liked it. I found it fun. It was like a lighthearted version of Heroes without as many characters. And I liked the character dynamics. I thought Michael Chiklis was great. Julie Benz was really great. Even though like it took me a little while to get used to seeing her after having just seen her as a corpse on Dexter. But it sort of like had this like Incredibles vibe for me, which I really enjoyed, and there were nitpicks with it that I was kind of like, why does everybody need to test their flight abilities by jumping off a building?
Yeah, I think I liked on Heroes how he was just on a little playground set.
Yeah,
so that the fall was not that bad.
Yeah, but I want to see more of it. I thought the character progressions were good. Them discovering their powers were good, and them trying to figure it all out. And Julie Benz is clearly working for a guy who knows a lot more about this than they do.
Oh, right. I was just gonna say real quick, that was a weird change in tone, because the show seemed very lighthearted family show, and then you bring in the evil mastermind who's like, we have to execute everyone who knows about this. And I was like, we're in a kind of a different tone.
But it was going to have to take that at some point for there to be any sort of cohesive plot to it. Otherwise, it's just them going, ooh, we've got powers,
Okay. Malcolm, what do you think?
I thought that it was very remarkable how much none of those people seemed like they were related to each other.
Yeah.
I didn't buy anybody being in that same family. And I thought that the comedy was pretty flat. Granted, I think I saw that. I watched that right after I watched Undercover, so I think that was a part of it. But and there was weirdness with how abrupt everything was happening. Like they went from, hey, here's this new family, let's go to where'd they even go? It was so fast.
They went to Brazil or something.
Right. Went to Brazil really quickly.
Yeah, and then they were back home like within 2 minutes. I was like, why didn't they go way out there?
Well, I mean, that was one of my nitpicks with it, because like they're in this little plane. They crash into the Amazon River in the middle of the rainforest, and it's just them, and then it cuts to them coming home. I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute. How did they get discovered? How did they get out of the Amazon?
Yeah, they got rescued by a mysterious...
For the beginning of the origin.
Yeah. I actually watched it... I was trying to figure out what I was going to watch because it comes in conflict with two other shows I watch on Tuesday because I watch Glee and NCIS, and mm-hmm. I couldn't record it. So I watched it online on Hulu or whatever, and... I don't need to ever watch it again. I'm done with that show because I just didn't like anything. I am a big fan of Michael Chiklis. I'm a big fan of Julie Bench, and I was really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But the chemistry didn't work for me between, like you said, with the family. I didn't believe it.
It was so hokey
how they got their powers. I was like, they fall into a river of Mountain Dew, and now they're super special. And
I was okay with that because
and normally, you know what? I probably, when it happened, when I watched it, I was like, all right, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. So I was ready to just go, I'll accept that that's how they're, if the rest of the show had worked mm-hmm. for me, I would have just accepted it and moved on because okay. I don't need a big scientific explanation, but yeah. It was just like, whatever. And
well,
then
the rest of the show did work for me, which is why I was okay with it.
I know,
yeah.
Well, that's why I'm, mm-hmm. I let yeah. you talk first and then, all I was going to say is what didn't work for me was the dialogue seemed very, very false. The humor was flat. And the best friend character that's like, oh, I'm going to help you get your secret lair. It's just, everything felt very cheesy. It was just like nothing went to a deeper layer. And the tone was just going back and forth for me. And I just really didn't like it. After I finished it, I told somebody, I was like, it's a C. It's, because at least I didn't like the event either, the pilot. I thought the event pilot was pretty bad, but it left me intrigued enough to want to see the second episode. After I finished this episode, I didn't feel intrigued at all. There was nothing about the show that made me want to come back and watch another episode, so I think I'm out.
Okay. All right.
Did you think that the son had a learning disability before they told us that he had a learning disability?
No.
That was shocking. Like, oh, there's something wrong with the son? Oh, okay.
Well, the only reason I know is because I read it in the description of the pilot. They were like, and the son has a learning disability. That was mm-hmm. the only reason why I even knew it.
Yeah.
Well, I knew his power. I knew the power he was going to end up with because I saw they showed it in one of the little previews. And so I was like, well, he's going to become the genius.
Well, I actually don't like how they're manifesting that. It makes it look like someone else is giving him the answer to the problem, which is weird, versus him kind of figuring now, just knowing it. It looks like someone's writing it out for him.
Well, the way I saw it was like that was his new superpowered brain working it out.
Yeah, I know that's what we're supposed to think, but mm-hmm. it just seeing it like that just didn't work. But
okay.
All right, let's move on to Glee.
Oi.
It was the Britney Spears episode of
Hence
Glee.
The oy.
Yeah, I think that the pilot from or the premiere from last week was way better than this one. I think that when they concentrate on one singer, mm-hmm. it falls flat.
Yeah, I was not very pleased with either their Madonna or their Lady Gaga episode from
right.
last season.
I agree.
But those are people whose music I can at least partially enjoy. This was Britney Spears. every song was torture for me.
Well, I like Toxic. Toxic was the only one that I liked.
But here was my problem with Toxic. Their version of Toxic was god-awful, and the class was going nuts over it, and yet they could not give a damn about their awesome version of New York, New York from last week.
Oh, New York. Oh, my God. That was so good last week.
And the entire school was like, eh, whatever. And then they go nuts over this really lame version of Toxic. I was like, no, I'm not accepting this.
Well, I agree with you. The whole Britney Spears, we're high because we're at the dentist, was stupid.
Yeah.
Although the first time they did it, I was like, all right.
Okay, fine.
But then, like, the fourth time?
But then, like, Britney and Santana share the same dream, and then Artie goes in and does it, and...
Yeah, it was just bad.
And then Rachel and ugh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was not a good episode.
The one thing I did like was that they finally were able to give the character Brittany some time to shine for herself.
Oh, I like that so great. She was like, I hate Britney Spears because
my name is Brittany S. Pierce.
And I have to live in her shadow. I was like, what? What goes on in your brain?
That's what I love about her, is like her brain functions on like a different level from other humans.
Yes.
And she'll just say like the most random, weird, hilarious things, like, this looks like the room where the aliens abducted me. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, she's great. I give thumbs up. And strangely, she looks like Britney Spears.
She does. When she did her video. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was actually the best part.
Yeah. There were moments where I was like, is that actually Britney Spears?
Right. That was pretty good. That part was probably the best. I think the beginning of the episode was the best part of the episode, and then it went downhill. Also, because Schuster's whole thing with being jealous and trying to win her back by buying a car. I was like, really? Yeah. Are you 12?
Yeah. And,
oh, man.
But I have to say, I like John Stamos's character.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do, too. And I think that could be interesting in a different story. So hopefully next week we'll have a better story.
What I liked about it was, like, she's with this other guy, and the other guy is actually kind of cooler than our protagonist.
Right, and he's better looking, so, yeah.
He's a nice guy, and he, like, actually uses, like, sound reason.
Yeah, he was like, you need to back off because she's made her choice, and how would you feel if she does split up with me and I don't let her go? He's like, oh, good point.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I've never actually heard a guy make that argument before.
Right, that was pretty good. All right, so Malcolm, do you watch Glee? Any comments?
I'm still a Glee new babe. I've only watched the first disc of the first season, I love the show, so I will catch up.
All right, cool. We'll move on to NCIS second episode, which was actually, I'm interested to hear what you say, because you said you just kind of watched it cold.
I came into this season not entirely cold, because I had been watching bits and pieces from last season, so I was familiar with the finale.
Right.
So I knew all of what was going on there, and so I was able to keep up with the season premiere. And then this week,
It was a standalone episode.
But I was trying to remember what it was.
The thing that was weird about this episode was the whole, we have interns.
Oh, the intern thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, and what was strange, I was like, are they plugging the real NCIS and they want people to intern? Because it was like, the episode ends with, they're like, we have an application filled out for you, go ahead and apply. And I was like, what? It felt like a recruiting video.
It did a little bit, but I have to say, I loved the intern who got stuck with Abby.
With the bells!
I loved those two together. And like the way Abby was like, I have to keep my eyes on you at all time. I can never turn my back on you because I don't trust anybody.
Well, no, do you know why? I'm
not too familiar with what scarred her.
Well, what happened was, like, in season 3 or 4, something like that, she got assigned an assistant who was supposed to help her. Mm-hmm. And she started to trust the guy. He was helping her out. And he ended up being a murderer who was actually trying to get revenge on Dinozzo. And so he sets Dinozzo up for a murder. And then once she figures it out, he duct tapes her in her lab and is going to kill her. And so from that point on, she's like, she told Gibbs, I will never have an assistant ever again. Mm-hmm. And so this is like years later, and she gets it. And she's like, I thought we had an agreement. No assistants for me.
Yeah.
So that was why her whole thing was, I have to be able to see you at all times, and you will be wearing bells.
Okay. Because, like, I love that first bit, and then the other where, like, he clearly, like, has a crush on her, and she's like, no, we are not going there. And then we see them again, where they've, like, examined a body, and he's got all the information, and she's giving him high fives, and she's like, this guy's awesome. I thought that was fantastic.
Well, and the public service announcement was with the guy who actually didn't intend to work for NCIS. He was just doing it because it was a class obligation. It was like, it was the only class that I had available on a Tuesday or whatever. Yeah. And,
but, I mean, he clearly had, like, some sort of connection, or, like, he developed, like, this connection to Gibbs, which I thought was cool.
Right. And that was all good, but, and the thing is NCIS is never really about the case. It's about the characters and what's going on with them. And I did like
pretty interesting with the kidnapping and the grandfather who was part of the special ops team.
Oh yeah, grandpa was awesome.
Yeah, and I can never remember that actor's name, but like he was in 24.
He's
and
been
he was
in a
awesome,
bunch of stuff,
and he was in this, and he was awesome.
I like how they kind of faux shot it to where he's doing all these crazy karate moves. And you know the actor's not really doing it because he's like 65 years old.
But you see, that was the thing that I loved. Like, he would kick one of the guys and they would like fly up against the wall. I'm like, oh my God, is he superhuman? What's going on here?
That was all pretty good. I actually have to say that because he wasn't really the criminal. He was the guy they're supposed to be helping, but I liked how that all worked together.
Yeah, and I thought the criminal, like, his motivation was really interesting and really creepy.
Right. Yeah, that was all of that worked out pretty well. And I we got a head slap, and that's always like that's how I judge if an episode is good.
We did get a head slap.
How many head slaps we get per episode. And
what I love was like he's explaining like Gibb, whenever I say anything about Gibbs, he's gonna walk up right behind me and slap me in the head, and sure enough, Gibbs walks up behind him and slaps him in the head.
And he was like, I should have seen that coming. So yeah, that was all of that. It was a fun episode. I liked it. It was just the only thing I thought was a little strange was like the last act when he's filling out the application for the intern. Like I was like, what is this? Is weird.
Yeah, it was a little too recruitment.
Right. But other than that, the episode itself with the characters and all that, thumbs up.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, as somebody who's coming into this kind of cold, I'm really liking it. Like I watched some of season one and it just felt too procedural to me. Mm-hmm. In season one, I was like, too case of the week.
But I have to say that actually season one, the end of season one starts an arc that lasts for like two seasons.
And that's what I figured, but it was so hard for me to just keep going with it. And there were so many other things
to watch. I will show you those episodes specifically.
Okay. I can get them on Netflix, and I will now that I'm on season, what is this, 8?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm really liking it now, so I'm going to go back and play
catch
up.
The first converted.
Congratulations, Livia. You've converted me.
All right. So we're moving off of NCIS and we are moving on to the season premiere of Stargate Universe. Malcolm, hit me.
Oh, that's a cute baby.
Yeah.
If you can't say anything good or bad, good, that's where you're going. Just say the baby's cute. That's all you got.
Yeah, because they went right back to the false tension stuff, you know, like oh, these people might die. I'm like, they're not going to die. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, this is what I don't like about this show.
Well, and then they pull the punch of the baby dies by having the baby mysteriously being taken to some mystery universe.
There was so much Deus Ex Machina going on in this episode.
I call it Deus Ex Machina, but okay, I understand what you mean.
But, like, you have the two guys outside, like they're about to get hit by the pulsar, and then like they end up not being dead, and they just say, "Oh, well, we realized we wouldn't make it, so we went to the underside of the ship." I was like, "You jerks!
Oh,
no, you didn't."
I was like, "That was BS." And then all of a sudden,
and then
is her Chloe?
Yeah, Chloe. Like her wound suddenly closes
heals.
Up. I was like, "Wait, what? She's been bleeding out for two episodes, and now it just suddenly closes up."
Not just closes up; it's completely healed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, she Jack Harkness?
No,
what
she
the heck?
She does have a scar.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I say completely healed, like, it went from a big freaking gaping wound to being healed.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, and then TJ with her mysterious transport to the other planet and her baby being born there.
Well, actually, her baby wasn't even born there. Her baby was just there.
Yeah.
So, it was all a bunch of BS. I was like, what? Are we supposed to buy all this crap that you guys are dishing out for us?
And then with the Lucians, how, like, the guy who takes over for Kiva is, like, insane. And so, like, of course, like, you have, like, the shy little girl who is like, this is too much, and she kills him.
Well, and that's the thing, is they went from the Lucian Alliance being a real threat, they basically...
They became
thugs. Yeah, and then they self-destructed. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even like the team had to do anything intelligent.
Yeah.
They just had to wait for these guys to kill each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bunch... Yeah, it was thumbs down.
Yeah,
on the Stargate
this was
premiere.
Definitely a thumbs down premiere. I'm hoping that it picks up, that it redeems itself further on in this season, or I might have to drop it.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. I'm not happy.
I was kind of on the fence for most of season one anyway. Like, it got more interesting as it went along.
Yeah.
But like this season premiere, no.
As screwed up as this premiere was, it does leave some good things open. I mean, you got the guy from
Telford.
Yes, Telford. Okay. So you got Telford in the cast now.
Because now he's on the ship.
Yeah.
He's on the ship, so that's good. And you got all those Lucian Alliance people that are sort of there now.
Yeah, they're locked up in the cells.
They could be red shirts. We might actually have people that they can actually kill now.
Well, that would assume they would let them out of their confinement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and clearly the one girl who killed the crazy guy, she's going to become some sort of character.
Well, because she's useful and she's smart, so I can't see Rush not using her.
Yeah.
And the other guy that they sort of focused on, he'll probably join the army.
Oh, the one who...
Who's a good guy who quit?
Yeah.
Well, there's also the dude that's a main actor from Prison Break and from some other shows. He showed up out of nowhere.
I was like, wait, was he there this whole time? Why did we not see him in the pyramid?
Right. So, yeah, they got a couple actors they obviously are bringing in that are going to be main characters, which is fine because the show does need something to boost it.
Yeah, but it's like if this whole Lucian Alliance takeover was just a device to get them more characters, I feel kind of cheated.
Right, yeah. It was not great. All right, we're going to move on to the next show, Undercovers. I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as possible because now I have a time thing.
I'm so bummed I missed this one. Like, I was looking forward to it too, and I just totally forgot.
I think it's the second episode. It was a pretty decent outing. We got another extra character, which that guy is very charming and it enters in a little bit of tension because he's basically the guy from the premiere that they rescue who used to sleep with the wife. And so you got a little bit of tension now between the two guys about the fact that they both slept with the same woman. But the other guy tries to make it seem like it's all charm and funny. And the husband's like, yeah, dude, that's not funny.
Yeah.
So, well,
and they were kind of playing it off that way last week, too.
Yeah, but this time now they literally have to work together for the whole episode.
Okay.
And so it brings it back a little bit more. And, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I like the addition and... It makes them feel more like a team. Though I'm not sure what his cover is going to be because he's going to have to keep showing up at the catering place too. So said that their boss that gives them their missions that he obviously works at some hotel. So every time he shows up, they have to go to that hotel and do a job or whatever. So that's a pretty good cover. But I'm not sure what they're going to say about the friend, like who he is.
Yeah. Well. There was one thing. I don't think you talked about it last week, but the wife in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew this, but she was on Doctor Who.
I know she's British.
She played Tish Jones, Martha Jones's sister.
Oh, no wonder she looks familiar.
Yeah. And I have to say, her American accent is pretty flawless.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean...
It's fantastic.
I only knew she was British because I saw some behind the scenes. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, of course, in the pilot, they have her be British, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I like when they do that. So I think the show's doing well. I like it. The ratings are a little mediocre.
Yeah.
Like, Hawaii Five-0 and The Event both have really great ratings, and they're no danger whatsoever. And No Ordinary Family actually got really great ratings, so it's not in danger. Undercovers, it's in the medium. It's like, it's getting around 7 million viewers, which isn't bad, but it's not great.
That might be enough to keep it going long enough for them to see, does this have any staying power?
Right. I don't see it being canceled like Lone Star or anything like really quickly.
Yeah.
It's going to make it to at least mid-season. And then I'm just a little worried because I really like the show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And even it's got J.J. Abrams' name attached, so maybe they'll give it a little more slack because that's what they did with Fringe.
Yeah,
Fringe. The only reason Fringe survived season one was because J.J. Abrams' name was on it. Its ratings were awful.
Yeah,
and then they've gotten better. But anyway, I'm hoping.
Okay.
All right. I want to move on to Big Bang Theory. Did you guys see that?
Yep. We had Robo Sheldon.
Ah,
loved it.
Malcolm, did you see it?
No, don't watch Big Bang Theory.
You gotta watch it. He basically decided that he needed to make a robot version of himself so that his body, which was fragile, didn't have to interact with the world.
Because he had calculated that he would die shortly before the first calculated point of the singularity where humans would be able to inject their brains into actual robots and live forever.
Right. And so he wants to make sure that he actually lives to that point or past it. But of course, his problem with his robo-self is that he didn't actually build, like, arms or legs or anything. So he can't actually open doors. He can't... It's really funny. And then, like, the car ride was the best part.
Oh, God, I love the car ride.
The car ride was great.
What I thought was so brilliant about this robo-Sheldon was it's just wheels and a monitor with Sheldon's face on it, and somehow they were able to move it in such a way that it was able to mimic Sheldon's mannerisms, which, like, it felt like real Sheldon.
Well, what was also great, I noticed that the shirt, that he puts, like, a shirt on a hanger.
Uh-huh, and he's wearing the same shirt. Yeah. Which, like, really kind of freaked me out, because that means, like, Sheldon has two of everything in his wardrobe.
Yes. Well, like, I think last week, Penny was like, oh, you're wearing the... No, it was the same episode. She's like, oh, you're wearing the Flash shirt because we're going to go running. And
yeah.
And he goes, no, it just happens to be Friday, and this is the day I wear my Flash shirt, so it's just
like, a happy coincidence.
Yeah. So all of that was just really good. It was a really good Sheldon episode. It made me smile and made me happy.
I like them running into a Steve Wozniak in a restaurant.
Oh, and he fell down the stairs with that Apple
with
computer.
The Apple II and destroyed the Apple II.
Oh, that was actually sad.
That hurt me a little bit because, like, the Apple II, that's my childhood.
Well, what was great is when he falls, he goes clank 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 clank, and it breaks. And then you just hear him go, oh. You know,
he goes like, oh, darn.
No, it wasn't even, oh, darn. It was just like a, really like a heartfelt, like, groan. Like, it was actually had more emotion in it than normal. And I was like, oh, that sucks.
Well, like, because I knew when he was going down the stairs, he was going to fall and smash it. And I was like, okay, is this the moment where we finally hear Sheldon scream in rage? Because, like, if anything was going to cause it, that would be it.
That was pretty good. All right. Thumbs up for this week's
Total thumbs
up, bang.
Yeah.
We are going to move on to Fringe.
Okay.
Malcolm, go.
Holy scanners, Batman.
That moment freaked me out. That actually made me jump. When the guy's head explodes.
We got to see some more evil Olive, or are we going to call her Red Olivia, and working with the big bad guy from early seasons.
Well, oh, what I actually, for one, I have to give her credit, because for one moment, when she runs to save Peter, and she dives and does all that, goes gets a train, I was like, oh, maybe she cares about him. And then I thought about it, I was like, no.
No.
He's part of the weapon, she needs him.
Right, exactly.
And that was the only, and as soon, because I actually had this quick moment where I thought she actually cared about him.
I thought so too, and then I was like, no, he's crucial to the weapon, that's why she saved him.
Yes, and then I was like, oh.
And I like the telltale heart scene, you know, where you know, she's got the dude dead in the bathroom. And,
oh, right. Yeah. The blood's coming under the door.
And so she covers it by making out with him.
That was
good stuff.
Interesting cover, but...
Yeah. And again, like NCIS, this is one of those shows where I watched it for a bit, gave up, and then decided to come back in this season cold.
Oh, okay.
And
last season was really good.
I know, and I was able to follow it pretty well. And I'm very intrigued now. Like, I'm going to have to go back and play catch up with the rest of this, along with NCIS.
Right. I mean, Fringe, well, you don't have as much with Fringe.
Yeah.
But once they started dealing with the alternate universe, like, a lot, then it got to be really good. And what I heard this season, every other episode, they're switching from one universe to the other.
Right.
So next week, we're in the alternate universe. Mm-hmm. And they said the way you'll be able to tell the difference is the credits. If we have blue Fringe credits, we're in our universe. If we have red credits, we're in the alternate universe.
Okay, yeah, that's the significance of that. Okay.
Right. So
they started that in the finale, didn't they?
Think so, yeah, but it's just... it was just one episode of the finale, so I didn't really notice it. But because they're going to be switching every episode this time, one, I find I like the alternate universe a lot.
Me too.
I like being in the alternate universe, so I'm really liking Olivia in the alternate universe. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that they're different. Like the Olivia in this universe, who's the false one.
Yeah.
She was like,
I'm calling her Evil Olivia.
Yeah. Well, what was great was she was like, she's like, oh, she has a She
has a...
What do they call it? It's
eidetic memory.
Eidetic memory. Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's going to be a little hard to fake. And I was like, really? No kidding.
I thought that was funny.
Well, the other Olivia has to fake... Well, I guess she doesn't have to fake it.
Well, she doesn't have to fake anything now.
Yeah, she's got the false memory. She doesn't fake anything. So that's actually depressing. But I'm kind of I want to see how that manifests itself. Because obviously she's going to start having her own memories are meshed in with the false ones.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's...
Well, it's like she's going to have the struggle which one's going to overpower which.
Right. And I think that's going to be interesting. And then my hope is that she realizes who she is, but she has the false memory so she can fake it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for.
Because like that would give her the upper hand over Walternet.
Right. That she could pretend to be the false one.
The other big thing was Walter basically gets left.
Dr. Bell's, Global Dynamics.
Yeah, or Massive Dynamic. Yeah.
What is Global Dynamics?
That's Eureka.
Mixing my shows up. So yes, Massive Dynamics gets handed over to Walter.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Well, I think
that's so irresponsible.
It's like, do we save the world or get more peanut butter?
Well, I know that the red-haired chick with the hand is going to be very disappointed that she's not the CEO.
Yeah.
Because she basically ran the company while he was gone. And I think if...
If Walter is smart, which, I mean, okay, we'll see, but he'll keep her on as CEO.
Right. And then he'll just take the money, so now he won't be poor.
Yeah.
And they can actually afford a car.
Yeah.
And we don't know what she actually got from Bell either.
Right. Right. Well, obviously, it wasn't the control of the company, which is why she had that look on her face when she was, because I think she was thinking, okay, well, I didn't get control of the company.
Which means Walter did.
Right. So that's why she was looking at him like that. But yeah, I think it's going to be pretty good. I think this season it looks like it's going to be the best season they've done so far. I'm really excited.
Cool. I'm totally digging it. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to our last show, which is Supernatural. I don't think we have to necessarily give it all the time we did last week, because that was just like the premiere was very contentious and everybody had an opinion. This one was pretty straight up episode.
Yeah. The whole shapeshifter baby.
I take it she didn't like that.
It was, I figured out pretty early on, it's like, okay, this baby is a shapeshifter baby, and they're going to discover this in a really horrible, gruesome way, which they did.
Well,
the baby exploded and was suddenly black.
Well, what tripped me out was, I think they gave too much away in the preview.
Yeah.
I wish I actually hadn't seen the preview.
I didn't see the preview, so I don't know.
Well,
right at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I saw the preview, and it very much looked like, I was like, oh, the baby's a shapeshifter. I mean, you could pretty much tell from the preview, which I was disappointed in that. But what did scare me for a minute, I thought they were going to say that the granddad was a shapeshifter. I thought that's where they were going.
Oh, no. There's something more going on with
Samuel.
Obviously,
with the secret phone call. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, Dean figured it out and they're denying it. But, I mean, clearly they were using the baby as bait to lure out the Alpha.
Right.
I don't know
why they're doing it.
I guess they're collecting big bads for some reason, which we don't know why yet.
Yeah, and I figure that they killed one of the cousins just like that. I was like, whoa, I didn't see that.
And they killed one last week too, one who
we
didn't really see
yet.
But I mean, like that sort of confirms my prediction, which is these cousins aren't gonna last very long.
Well, I hope Corin Nemec lasts.
Corin Nemec is probably going to last very long, but the other one, Gwen, she's probably going to be killed either next week or in a couple of weeks.
Right. I don't predict her lasting long either. But I like Corin Nemec's animosity towards
Dean.
I like the fact that they don't like each other. And I like the fact that Dean doesn't trust them because he shouldn't.
Right, yeah.
And they're obviously lying to him. All of them are. Not only are the Campbells lying to him,
Sam is
lying to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, did you not see
were you not around last season?
When Dean knows when you're lying to him.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, how come you can't trust me? It's like, because you're lying to me.
Yeah. It's like, because you came back from hell and were here for a year and didn't tell me, why would I trust you?
Yeah, he already had trust issues with Sam in the first place. It took forever for them to get to a decent spot. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why Sam is, like, endangering that.
Well, and it's like, okay, the circumstances are suspicious already. It's like, why would Dean trust anything?
Right. And that's why he was just like, I'm not giving you the baby because you guys are going to do something evil.
Yeah.
And they're like, what kind of monsters do you think we are? I was like, I don't know, but you're like, obviously...
And then he called us, like, the kind of monsters who would use a baby as bait to lure out the alpha.
Yeah. And obviously, they... And part of the reason that actually irritates me about the other cousin being killed, they weren't trying to kill the alpha.
Right.
They were shooting him with... Because I saw their guns, and I was like, why are they not using real guns?
Because...
They're trying to capture it. And I was like, that's how you get killed.
Yeah.
it was just pathetic. It was just... I just wish that Samuel was a nicer person because I like Mitch Pileggi.
Me too.
But he does. Oh my God, that man's walk. When he walked in as the alpha, not when he was being Samuel, but when he was looking like Samuel and being the alpha and being evil, he has an evil walk that he does.
Yes, he does.
And I was like, oh. Anyway, Malcolm, what do you have? Any final comments about Supernatural?
I just love the scene where they beat up the old woman in the grocery store.
Yeah, that was great.
All that was good. I
loved when he threatened the old woman. He's like, give me the baby back or I will chop your head off.
Or stab you in the throat.
Or stab you in the throat or something. Like, yeah.
All that was good.
He's hurting me.
Yeah, whatever. And then it's like, our father will come for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was all that was just... And I like the part where Samuel was like, well, we got to figure out why they're taking all these babies because they're obviously making baby stew.
it's like, okay, it's either a monster making baby stew or it's a psychopath making baby stew. Either way, we've got baby stew. And I'm like, why does your brain immediately go to baby stew? It's like, it could be recruitment.
I didn't know what it was, but yeah, the baby stew imagery was just like, ew. That was brilliant. That was, yeah, so that actually makes me think that Samuel is lying somewhat to Sam. I think Sam knows some of the story. I don't think he knows all of it.
I don't think he knows that they're capturing these guys.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he did know they were going to use the baby as bait.
But I think he probably thought they were using the baby as bait to kill the alpha, not to capture it, which is why they put him down in the safe room with Dean.
Oh, good point. They did separate them.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they're telling Sam some of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, that's the end of this podcast. You guys got any final comments?
Nope. Next week is going to be another huge one like this. This is going to be our October, folks.
Malcolm?
Nope, don't have anything.
All right, well, if you guys have, like always, you guys have any comments, send them to tvcampfire@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and we are on Facebook. All right, talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.